Well, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 3 and put a marker in 2 Timothy chapter 1 for now. We're going to start there. I'm going to continue talking about dunamis, being strengthened with might in our inner man. And the more I'm into it, the more I'm seeing the exhortation in the blueprint for 2020 to do that very thing. And I'm going to read part of that today. So Ephesians chapter 3, let's just read the whole prayer to get our mind going along that vein again. And again, yes, sir. Even before I read this, now understand that Paul is praying this prayer for the church at Ephesus. We went through this several times already. This is a born again, baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue talking, prophesying church. And we know that for sure because we studied the start of it over in Acts, where Paul met those disciples and he preached Christ unto them. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. Then he laid his hands on them. They got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues and prophesied. So we have all of that foundation. Well, if that's how the church started, that's how the church, I'm sure, continued. And so he's right. This prayer that he's praying is for people that are already saved, already filled with the Holy Ghost, already can speak with tongues and can prophesy. But look at this prayer. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, just to put you in remembrance, that word might is the Greek word dunamis. It is where in English we get our word dynamite. It is the explosive, mighty working power of God. The first meaning of the word in Strong's, if you look it up, is force. Isn't that right? Force. You can feel force, right? It's also translated virtue when Jesus, when that woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. And that virtue flowed out of him into her. She felt it come in. He felt it go out. Force. You can feel it. But it's dunamis. It's the same Greek word. Now, Paul is praying here that the Father, now again, to this born again, sounds like a lot of churches today, born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, prophesying church. He's saying, I'm asking the Father, I'm praying something for you guys. What are you praying, Paul? That the Father would grant, he would give. That you be strengthened with dunamis. I'm going to say that word, dunamis. Might. Now notice, by his Spirit, who is that? That's the Holy Ghost. Well, where am I going to get this strengthening? In the inner man. That's you. That's the born again, regenerated you. God is a spirit. And if you're his child, you're a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. But at your core, you're a spirit, just like God is a spirit. Amen? All right. Well, this sounds like a good prayer. I want to be strengthened with this too. And if Paul's praying that we receive to be strengthened, I keep wanting to say the spirit of might. That's not what it says. To be strengthened with might, dunamis, by his Spirit, in the inner man. Now, this inner man is already born again. Because he's writing this he's praying this for the Ephesian church. Okay, enough review. Let's go on. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, okay, now last week, that's when we did the tornado thing. Remember? They had the number 9 wash tub and the half inch of kerosene and they set it on fire. Then what did they add? A rushing mighty wind. Now, the fire was already there. See, that's type and shadow of our, that's kind of like our the new birth. Our candle is lit. Our lamps are lit. We've got oil. They're lit. That's good. But pretty much that fire was contained just within that vessel until the rushing mighty wind comes. But boy, when the rushing mighty wind come, woo, that tornado stood up out of that thing. One guy said, that's 10 foot tall, he said. And the other guy standing 15 to 20 feet away said, I can feel the heat off of that force. See, we want people to feel the heat when you walk in the room. That's when the anointed one burns in you. That's last week's message. When the anointed one, the combination of his life and the combination of that with this Father's Spirit blowing on that life, combined, it causes that anointed one. And that's why I said that Christ, the anointed one. You already have Christ by his nature, but we're talking the anointing. Christ and his anointing. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. Well, that picture for me is when that tornado comes up, that's when the anointed one stands up in me. Who am I? Okay. That you may be rooted and grounded in love, and maybe, he's still praying, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. What would happen if that prayer is answered, Paul? What's going to happen? But that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you write in your margin, I'd put revival. Revival. If you get filled with all the fullness of God. Okay. Now today's verse, the one we're mainly going to focus on today, is verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That is the same Greek word. That is dunamis. If you don't get strengthened with dunamis back here in verse 15, he's not going to be able to do the works listed here in verse 20. Can you see that? Because it is according to the dunamis that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, keep your place there because we're coming back for sure. But go over now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because I don't want there to be any confusion in this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, before I read this verse, you got to remember, this is the last letter that Paul ever wrote. He is in prison. He'd been in prison before, and they let him out. He's not getting out this time. Well, he's going to live in his rented house for a while. But anyway, this is the last letter. He gets martyred right after this. So put yourself in Timothy's shoes. You've been a disciple of Paul, and you're watching what happens to your mentor, and they've got him in prison, and they're about to execute him. And what are you thinking? I'm next. If they can do that to Paul, so, you know, there'd be a little fear. Well, that's why we had this, Paul's writing to Timothy. Paul knows it's his last letter. You can tell by the wording in it. So look at verse 7. It's a very famous verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm so proud of my King James Bible that they got the S correctly in this verse. Notice it's a little S, and that's correct. They got it right. I'm so proud of them. God is not, see, he's talking about that new nature, the nature of Christ that's in you. One thing's for sure, it's not a nature of fear. It's not a nature. He didn't give you no spirit of fear, but it's a, and the first, he says three things: power, love, and sound mind. And it might interest you to know that word power is dunamis. See, there is dunamis in the new nature alone without the baptism and the Holy Ghost. But we have been, say we, myself, Dave before any of us, Alan, Jim Martin, Bronk, everybody else that stood here, for years we've been preaching about the strength of the new nature and how it empowers you to walk above sin. That's why God gave it. And it does have power. And it will give you courage. And it will empower you to rise above the temptations of sin. Yes, there's dunamis in it. But it's not, see, and that's exactly the same power that Jesus walked by for the first 30 years of his life. He tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. But he wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. Where'd he get that power? Well, it's the dunamis from the new nature. This is the spirit that God gave us. So we don't want you to think that there's no power in the new nature. We've been preaching on that for years, that there is power in the new nature. That's how Christ strengthens us to resist sin. You have the ability now. That's the difference between you and the Roman 7 guy. The Roman 7 guy had the law, but no power to keep it. He wanted to keep it. With his mind, he agreed that it was good and holy. He wanted to keep it. I'm not going to do that bad thing anymore. But see, as long as you had that law of sin and death, if it's ruling in you, with all the best efforts in the world, you don't have enough strength not to sin. Oh, but thank God for Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And I love John 8:12, where Jesus prophesied about that. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Why? They shall have the light of life. And it's the very same life that he walked by. So we have that already, all right? Are we in agreement? There is power in the new nature. There is dunamis in the new nature. But it's power to walk above sin. It's power to love. It's power not to be in fear. It's got all kinds of power in it. And in fact, really the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, where it ends that segment there, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, all of that is in little s spirit. That you got that when you got born again. All of these people in Ephesus already have that. That's not what he's talking about, though, when he's talking about this power, and I'm going to show you that. So now back over to Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. See, these people at Ephesus already have the dunamis of the new nature. I want to say it again. They're already born again. They've already been baptized in the name of Jesus. They've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. They can speak with tongues and prophesy. Paul says, I'm praying, though, there's something I see that you don't have, that you need. Well, what is it, Paul? You need dunamis from his Spirit, by his Spirit. You need to be strengthened with dunamis by his Spirit in your inner man. That is exactly how Jesus prayed in John 17. Father, I in them. That's your new nature. Father, thou in me. That's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's when the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father, comes to dwell in you, you little temple of God, outfit you. You're a temple on legs. Mobile temple everywhere you go. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. But we need to be strengthened with might, or else Paul wouldn't pray this. Now, today, Angie, I know the title for once. This one, Exceeding Abundant Mighty Works. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Exceeding Abundant Mighty Works. Okay? Now, let's focus on Ephesians 3:20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But how does he do it? According to the dunamis, if you'll allow me, that worketh in us. Now, first off, let's get this straight. Now, unto who? Unto him. See, the church keeps trying to do this themselves. Jesus of himself says, the Son of himself can do nothing. It is the Father in me. Him, doeth the works. One time I was meditating this passage and the Holy Spirit kept narrowing down that phrase. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Then it was, well, unto him that is able to do. And then it was him able to do. And then it was him do. Oh, this is about him doing. Him doing. See, we got to get that understanding. It's him doing it. Him in us. And he does it by his Spirit. It's him do. That would be a good title, him do. But I'm not going to do that. It's him doing. See, what, 2-3 weeks ago, right at the end of the service, he said something through me. That makes me sound so smart, and I have to go and take notes, you know. A mark of maturity is when you start to understand that your prayer is way more important than anything you can do. See, because you can't do dunamis. You can't do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, because you can ask or think it. I don't think it would ever enter the heart of the natural man to walk on water. Do you? The natural man. I don't think it would ever occur to him. Oh, the boat's over there. I'm over here. The storm. I know. I'll just walk on the water. That's not going to occur to the natural man, is it? See, him's got to do something. Him do for you to walk on that water. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody born blind, you know, even the best surgeons, unless they can transplant eyes or something, you know, born blind, that's got to be a him do. Am I making my point? We've got to understand this is about him doing. And if you really get that, you go, my goodness, my prayer for him to be able to do, see, him do, because he answers prayer, him answers and him do, okay, is really more important than whatever I could do. I mean, it's important that we do stuff, you know, but if it comes right down to it, I either got to sacrifice my prayer or my do. We're going to have to learn to sacrifice our do, because him can do what we can't do. And the whole world needs to see him do. Jesus says, if I do not the works of my Father, just believe me not. Well, the church at large has not, and the world at large has not. Isn't that true? They just equate Christianity with any other religion. They don't see any difference. But they're about to see a difference. Him is about to do. I love the Holy Ghost. He's real gentle with me. See, when it says above all we ask or think, I can think real easy. It's easy for me to think about walking above sin. I can think that. Walking on water. The only reason I think it, because I read it in the Bible. But it would never occur to just a natural person. But we're not natural people. All right, let me go on here. I'm going to read you a quote from one of the blueprint prophecies. This one is from You Who Have Ears to Hear. I hope, you know, I never know who all is listening. We received a series of prophecies, 10 originally, but now he's still been building on that. But there's 10 originally that we have called the Blueprint for 2020. And they came through our friend, Pastor Bronk Flint, in Immokalee. This is one of them. And it gave us our instructions for the whole year, what we're to do. Here's a quote. 2 Timothy 1:7 is talking about the dunamis that comes by your new nature. And there's no fear in that. Perfect love casts out fear. But the dunamis we're talking about is the mighty works dunamis. It's talking about power. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture for that. In fact, let's do that first. Before I give you this quote, you can just write these down. There's too many of them. I could have written, there's 116 times that the word dunamis is used in the New Testament. And I only picked out about 10 of these. Maybe not even quite 10. I didn't count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm sorry, just 7 of them. Now, just listen to these. And you're going to see, that word dunamis, the first meaning is force. But very often, it is so explosive in power that they just use that word to describe mighty works. The translation is mighty works. Watch this. And this is according to the dunamis that works in us, just like Jesus said, it's the dunamis, it's the Father working in him. So Matthew 6:13, this is just the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, and so forth. But verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now Jesus talking to the Father, praying to the Father, for thine, Father, is the kingdom and the power. That's the Greek word dunamis right there. Whose is it? It's the Father's. Thine is the kingdom and thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 11:20 says, speaking of Jesus, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. That's the Greek word dunamis. Mighty works. Dunamis. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Dunamis. Got that? Paul is praying that we be strengthened with dunamis by his Spirit in our inner man. Well, what'll happen? Mighty works. Mighty works. Let me give you some more. Matthew 11:21. What's the next verse? Next, okay. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you, that's the same Greek word, dunamis, if the mighty works were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. And verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works, there it is again, mighty works, dunamis, which have been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Now here's Matthew 13:54. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And they said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? I just want you to get this. Mighty works. And it's just the Greek word dunamis. Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Okay. Dunamis again. I just want you to see that word dunamis is sometimes just, it's not always just rendered power. It's actually rendered mighty works themselves. You'll see why that's important in a minute. And the last one here that I have, I could have put way more than this. I just wanted you to see how it's translated. Matthew 14:2. And he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Talking about Jesus. Mighty works. Now, still got Ephesians 3 open, I hope. Now unto him, verse 20. Now unto him, who's that? That's the Father. Now he does it through Christ. Don't see, we got Christ in you in this same passage here, but it's Christ in us and the Father in him. Okay. Now unto him, the Father, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think. Now watch this. According to the mighty works that worketh in us. Isn't that right? Do you know it's, I didn't look this verse up, but it says that we were built, planned. God's plan is for us to do good works. We think about feeding the poor, and it's good works. What about raising the dead? What about opening blind eyes? What about the maimed and being made whole? What about showing the world something that our Jesus is alive and well, and that the Father still does dunamis? He still does mighty works, see? Now, here's that segment from, this is from the prophecy titled, You Who Have Ears to Hear. And the Holy Spirit says, quote, I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy only in your ability to conquer sin. I have a much greater calling beyond that for you. For once you understand that you could conquer that person and live above in righteousness, I have asked you to come apart and conquer the world around you. And for this, now listen, and for this, conquer the world around you, he's talking about mighty works. And for this, you will need that spirit, capital S, that comes by power. You will need that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, that comes by power to you through strength. I pray that you would be strengthened with dunamis, might, by the Father's Spirit in your inner man. This is right there. It's in the prophecy. And for this, you will need that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes by power, I put in here dunamis, to you through strength, now notice, and through fire, and through purging, says the Spirit of grace. Fire and purging, okay? To do the mighty works, the dunamis, we need that Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the same one Paul is talking about in this prayer, that we would be strengthened with dunamis by his Spirit in the inner man, which we're already born again. But it comes to us through fire and through purging. Here's a good question. Well, why purging? Why purging? See? Well, you can answer that one now. In fact, Yes. Go ahead and go to Romans 12. I know you know it very well. It's good to see it in your Bible. You know the answers have been in here the whole time? We're still like archaeologists digging down through 2,000 years of rubble finding these. And when you find them, they're just so simple. And you go, that's been in there the whole time. Yeah? The Word of God isn't changing. We're changing. Where we can understand it. See, why the purging? Father, it's your Spirit. It's you doing the works. Why the purging? Well, that's Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, now notice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus gave his body for us. It's our reasonable service to give our body for him. Not a single amen. But that's the truth of it. He gave his body for us. It's reasonable for him to expect us to give our body to him. But see, we read that like it doesn't mean anything. What does acceptable mean? If I order a T-bone steak and they bring me a nice, medium rare, steaming T-bone steak, about an inch and a half thick, pink in the middle, little charred around the edges, you know. Trust me, that is acceptable. That is prepared for me. I will receive that. I have a use for that. Okay? But if I order a T-bone steak and they bring me tofu, and I don't care how they color it up, I don't care, you know, what they do to it, I don't care, that is not acceptable. And if words mean anything, we keep trying to get him to accept our bodies when we don't present them to him holy, and he is going, that is unacceptable. If words mean anything, and they do. That's why the purging. He continues to talk about that later on in that same prophecy. And I'm skipping some of it. It's all good, but you know, we only got 4 hours. Oh, I'm just seeing if you're listening. Just see, don't worry. So here's the next excerpt. My Spirit, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. My Spirit comes to burn up the last of anything left beyond the entrance into my kingdom. My Spirit comes, my Holy Ghost comes, to offer to each one of you the free will choice of the whipping post. How many of you know what he's referring to there? The whipping post. He's talking about fasting. I'll just tell you plain, he's talking about fasting. Purging. Where I, as a father, through my Spirit, will scourge away the remaining of anything left that has any effect upon you following me in the fullness of what I've asked you to do. Do not be mistaken. Do not let arguments arise in your heart and mind to delude the message of what I speak to you. I gave you the power at the very entrance of salvation to conquer those things that destroy the image, which you call killer or deal breaker sins. That was done from the very moment of conception. But I am asking those of you who will hear my voice and purge yourself through prayer and fasting and giving of thanks to come away with me into another level. Why would you rejoice all of your life as to make it the only and the center part of your life that you're able to conquer your flesh? That, to me, was the beginning. I am asking you to go forth and to conquer a world around you and to conquer your city through fastings and prayers and to bring forth and to destroy the last part of anything in you that is complacent toward those things, that is indifferent towards those things. For whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says the Spirit of grace. See, I remember Dave would teach on love. You notice right in the middle of this, which we're coming back to it at another service, but that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. When Dave would teach on this, he would say, sower sows the word, bears fruit in people, some 30, some 60, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Dave says, I've met a lot of 30-fold Christians. I've met 60-fold Christians. You know, it's tough. You know, I mean, just to make 60-fold is pretty good. Dave would say, that last 40%. He said, that's where love is. He said, that's where complacency has to die. I used to say all the time, Jesus would have revival. Then he would go pray all night to the Father. Then he would have revival. And he'd go pray all night to the Father. But I see now that's totally backwards. Jesus would go pray all night in fellowship with the Father. Then he would go have revival. And he would go pray and spend time in fellowship alone. Come away with me. And then he'd go and have revival. And that's exactly what the Lord's asking us in this season. Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me. You know, we've got these prayer times set up at the church. And I asked the Lord, should I use a stick or a sweet? He said, neither. Just preach the truth and leave them to me. And I can't be here at all of it. I was here. I did pretty good this week. There was part of it I couldn't be at. But we've got these prayer times. And really, compared to what's coming, these are minimal. These are minimal compared. Dave says when real revival, everybody's going to be so involved, laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover. He said, you're going to be so busy, you'll be hoping there's a little cot in the corner of the church somewhere where you can catch a 30-minute nap. Because these fields are going to be full. When word gets, we won't have to go build this church. Come on. We won't have to go and get people. We don't need any church growth programs. You start healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, see some mighty works done around here, they will come here. They will come here. They'll be bringing their children. You don't have to go empty the children's hospital. If I was a parent and my kid was in there, I found out Jesus is healing folks, I'm bringing my kid there. That's not going to be our problem. We don't need to focus on that. We need to focus on what he told us to do. Come away with me, my beloved. Purge. Allow. One of the titles is complete the purging process. I'm going to read it again. I hear it again. I'm going to read it again. That spirit that comes. He says, for I've asked you to come apart and conquer the world around you. And for this, if we're going to do that, you will need that spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, that comes by power, that would be dunamis, to you through strength and through fire and through purging, says the Spirit of grace. Yes, sir. And we're in Romans 12. And I don't know if you know this. I'm not going to teach on this today. But, you know, the whole point, most preachers, all they preach is verse 1 or maybe verses 1 and 2, and that's usually the end of it. But really, Paul is talking about ministry here. I don't know if you know this, but he starts talking about all these ministries, having then come down to verse 6, having then these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith and ministry and so forth. He lists all of these. I don't know if you know, I'll teach on this another time. Did you know in this list that he gives right here is the fivefold ministry and governments and helps in this list? All of them. Prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, and apostle. All five are mentioned right here, and helps, and governments, But I want you to notice Romans 12, 1 and 2 comes before ministry. If we don't do 12, 1, you don't do ministry. Not in strength, not in dunamis, not with the enabling and the Holy Ghost, you don't. You can do it on your own without going through the purging, but you're not going to do it empowered by the Holy Ghost. That's real ministry. He told me years ago, I have not called you to go minister to the people yourself. I've called you to be the vessel through whom I can minister to the people myself. There is a big difference. Him do. I still think that's a good title. What we're after is what he can do. These mighty works. Yes, sir. Jesus himself couldn't do it. Now, see, I'll get letters and I don't care. He said himself he couldn't do it. It's the Father in me that doeth the works. So I was in prayer. I think this one was Saturday morning. Many of you, there's a chart I have at my website in the articles. It's the very last article, and it's the flow. I call it the flow. There's a little diagram on there, and it shows the Father in heaven and the works manifest, and there's a lot of things in there. But I saw it a little differently, and it's not that that's wrong. He's just trying to fine-tune it, you know. But I saw it a little different. So yesterday, while I was in prayer here, just doing what we're supposed to do, come down and shandai. Hallelujah. Just pray in tongues. Whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it, you know. What's that got to do with it? But how Dave used to... I tell you, we're going through a season right now that Dave prophesied 25, 30 years ago. Remember? He says, you start doing this, the devil will throw everything at you that he can throw at you, trying to get you to stop. And we all laughed, you know, and Dave would make it funny. You know, the boulder rolled down off the hill, smashed the man's car, rolled through the house, rolled over him. His wife left him, his dog left him, his cat left him. He's, you know, his house is smashed, his car is gone. He's all crippled up. He can't walk, he can't do nothing. But there's his right earlobe still works. And you see him going along, coming down the highway here, with his right earlobe pulling him along. Say, where are you going? I'm going to prayer. We're kind of going through that. We used to laugh, you know. But I'm telling you, if you can be stopped, it's not spiritual, but a whole lot of shaking going on. He's shaking everything that can be shook, you know. So anyway, while I was in prayer yesterday down here, just praying, did I feel like being here? No. Do I feel like preaching to you this morning? No. Do I feel like all hell's breaking loose in a lot of ways in my life? Yes. So, well, that's not that way with me. Are you praying? Okay. Because I'm telling you, if you can be stopped, you will be stopped. While in prayer this morning, kind of calmed down, Gary. Yesterday morning. That flow kind of diagram kind of come up in me, with me again. I kind of saw it a little different, though. This time I just saw the Father, like the Father sitting on the throne. I didn't see him, really, but I just knew it was the Father in heaven. And then here we are on earth. I saw like people on earth, believers. These were not sinners, it's people, you know, us. And the Father's in heaven, and here we are, and we're born again. He loves us, okay? But the Father's in heaven, and we're here. But see, what I saw then, I saw this conduit like a pipe connecting the two where the Father could flow into us. And that pipe was Jesus. That's why he says, no man comes to the Father but by me, see. The only way for the Father to indwell us is through Jesus. You must be born again. Again, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit has nowhere to dwell. But if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then the Holy Spirit has a place to dwell. But he's still asking for holy bodies. He wants disciples of Jesus. True disciples. So let me read the paragraph the way I typed it. While in prayer, I saw the flow diagram a little differently than I had in the past. I saw the Father in heaven on the left side of the page. And then I saw this tube as being the Spirit of Christ. And I saw believers on the right-hand side. And I saw the Father on earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. But that Spirit of Christ was the Father's method of access to the earth through us. You got that? Another verse you could throw in there is Ephesians. It's in Ephesians 2:18. For through him, that's Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's through Christ, what he did. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One preacher said one time, I heard him say this, and it just kind of stuck. God wants to be where we are. God wants to be where we are. And I didn't know about that. That's one of those things you kind of file away, you know. But I had not heard it said that way before. But later on, when I was meditating John 17, that's exactly what Jesus said. The end result of the gospel, I and them, Father, thou and me. Sounds to me like the Father wants to be where we are. Isn't that right? Individual temples with God by way of his Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Him do. Mighty works, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm waiting till the day he pays my taxes by me going fishing. I'm looking forward to that day. See, I got a witness. Now, the natural man, he probably never would think of that. But, you know, anyway. See, I'll quote the whole, John 17:23 says, I in them, and thou in me. I in them, and thou in me. Boy, that conduit, I see it again, that picture. God the Father, how do I get into my people? How do I dwell in my people on earth? Oh, my son, by one Spirit. If they'll receive my son, then they can have access to me. But also, I will have access to them. Remember, I will walk in them. I will be a father to them. I will be a God to them. I will do mighty works through them. We are on the cusp of revival, I'm telling you. We are on the cusp of it. John 7:23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, mature in one. Oh, and I love this. And that the world may know. Not the church. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Well, the world sure certainly doesn't know that right now. Why not? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Just don't believe me. Well, we haven't, and they haven't. How many knows we're about to do the works of the Father? We are about to. I'm praying this prayer for me and really all of us, the whole church, every day now. I'm serious about it. That we be strengthened with might. Yes, sir. Now, he told me that the answer to this prayer is by faith like anything else. You got to receive the answer to this by faith. So if you pray it every day, again, I got to be careful. Now, I don't want to get four lessons ahead. I'll tell you ahead of time. This is a daily thing. Jesus did not go once a quarter to pray to the Father. Okay? I don't think Jesus had a fasting quarter either. Hey, a fasting quarter is way more than most of the church does. Isn't that right? A fasting day. The church I grew up in, fasting passed away with. Well, you might skip a Snicker bar after lunch, but that's it. You know. Okay. Okay. So how is the Father in us? See, it's by his Spirit indwelling, the Spirit of Christ within us. Through that process, the Father is where we are. And everywhere we go, the Father goes with us because he's in us. Without Christ, the Father has no way to dwell in us. That's why Jesus said, without him, without Christ, he's talking about himself, not the Father. He's saying, without me, you can do nothing. Why? Because without him, we don't have the Father in us. Without him, you can do nothing. Without him in us, the Father is not in us to do the works. Now see, I can just hear religion just getting ready to write me letters. Jesus himself for 30 years, born, what we would say, we're born again. But what we got on our second birth, he got on his first birth. So he lived with that light of life in him from day one. And sure enough, it had dunamis in it, power to live above sin. He made the choice every day. Every day, every day, he was tempted like anybody else, but without sin. But he did no mighty works. He did no miracle. Why? Now, you're not going to like this. He couldn't. He could not. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Until he was baptized by the Holy Spirit the day that John the Baptist dunked him in the water, that's the day that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, I want to say it this way, that's the day he was strengthened with might by the Father's Spirit in his inner man. Now, he fellowshiped with the Father. He kept it strong. Because he fellowshiped with the Father all the time. We're going to get into that later. He taught that. He taught his disciples to do that. Say, where? Keep coming. Can't get it all in one sitting. Okay? All right, now every statement has to be backed up with Scripture or it's useless. So you ought to write these down for the legalists that are going to come at you with this. What do you mean Jesus couldn't do the mighty works before he was baptized? Well, don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. So John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. What? Wait, stop. What? He didn't say that out loud. The Son, he's talking about himself, the Son is able to do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, could I say him do? These also the Son likewise. Now let me read that to you out of the Amplified. Remember, the Amplified Bible, the Greek language is much more informative than our English language. It takes a whole bunch of English words to say something that a Greek word said. So the Amplified, and I like the classic version. There's a newer version out now that I don't like it nearly as well. I like the classic Amplified Bible, if you can find one. So John 5:19 in the Amplified says, Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord. We've had people leave the church. We've had people, I don't mean recently either. I'm talking several years, quite a few years ago, over this verse right here. They said, no, you should be able to do stuff. Just go do it. Well, Jesus doesn't think that. He says, I don't do anything of my own accord. Okay? But he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. Now, you're in John, if you're there, John chapter 5, come on down to verse 30, because he even gets more detailed here. Oh. John chapter 5, verse 30, King James Version. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now see, if you just, I promise you, you stand up in the church I grew up in and you say, I'm just here to tell you Jesus of his own self can do nothing. You're about to get run out of town on a rail. But he says it. See, you got to understand, he did not do anything he did as God. He calls himself the Son of Man. Now he's got the light of life on the inside of him. He lived, we've got that nature on the inside of us. But this mighty works, this dunamis, is the Father in him doing the works. So let me continue. John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now this one in the Amplified Classic Bible is one of, if I could only have one, I'd probably have this verse. This is my verse right here. John 5:30. I am able, now this is the Greek language. This is really what they heard when Jesus spoke. This is how it came across to them, hearing that language. It takes all these words to get the same thing in English. I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get His orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. Bidden just means told. I decide as I'm told to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Now here's just a few more verses you can put in your arsenal. These are all King James. John 10:32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Did you hear that? From my Father. Many good works have I shown to you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Same chapter, verses 37 and 38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe. Now get this, that the Father is in me and I in Him. They're not going to believe us if they don't see the works. And we haven't shown them the works. And sure enough, they haven't believed us. Why do you think the Lord gave us those 10 prophecies? Come away with me. Come away with me. One of the lessons that I did from the pandemic room, the black curtain room at my house, I went through all the promises just in those prophecies that the Lord said, if you'll do this, here's what's going to happen. And one of them was, you're going to have the same fruit as the firstborn. You're going to do the same works. Buddy, get out of my way. Flesh, you don't want to go pray? I bet Phil's down there praying. I'm going to go pray too. I bet Phil's there. Whether he's there or not, I'm still going to go pray. You know what I mean? Why does it matter if somebody else is here? I'm going to stand before the Lord myself and give account. Some came through intense pain, and they still came. Okay? And if you can't come for the whole thing, but there's something to corporate prayer. I know you can pray at home. I pray at home too. I pray in addition to those times. It ain't bragging if it's so. I don't really care what you think too much. Really. I want Him to do through Gary. I want Him to do through Gary. I want Him to do exceeding abundant, mighty works. Because then the world will believe us. If we're coming into put up or shut, put up or shut up time. You know? The whole world's telling the church to shut up. Mainly because we can't put up. We can't show them nothing. Well, let's show them something. All right, I'm almost done. Okay, John 14, verses 10 and 11. I could have got a lot more than these. John 14, verses 10 and 11. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Here it is again. But the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. I'm right back over to Ephesians 3:20. Unto Him that is able to do. Him do. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Put your hand on your belly. I know your spirit's not just your belly, but point of contact. Just say it by faith. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Because I've been strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. The Father dwells in me. And the works that I do, it's the Father doing the works. Oh, and He does exceeding abundantly. He does these mighty works beyond my ability to even think them. But it's according to the dunamis that works in me. And that dunamis comes from His Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Our Father, I thank You for strengthening me with might by Your Spirit in my inner man. Woo, that's good stuff. That's good stuff, see? But come away with it. There's a purging. There may still be some purging involved. That's why He says in that prophecy, really all 10 of them, come away with me, my beloved. What a wonderful season. How blessed we are. I feel like His favorite, like He's just hand training us, giving us those prophecies. Are we going to do it? Yes, we're going to do it. All right. Now, we've got to finish with this one. This is, if we had only three verses for the prayer center, it would be these three verses, I think. Tim might have different, but anyway, this is Gary's opinion. we're not going to emblazon these over the doors of the church. But anyway, John 14:12-14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, well, that's us. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now see, the call for the prayer center, He did not give us 10 prophecies saying, run out there and pray. What He did say was, come away with me and be purged. I'm going to say it again. Romans 12:1-2 comes ahead of all of that ministry listed later in the chapter. The fivefold, helps, and governments. But He needs those holy vessels.